You're listening to the Jason Greger Show podcast, brought to you by Lakewood Chev, the number one Chevrolet dealer in Canada since 2015, based on Dealer Raider's customer review site. Stop in, say hi. Right now, 20% off MSRP cash credit on select vehicles. That's Lakewood Chev. Specifically, the Carolina Panthers, they fire their GM today. A few ex-players are all like, oh yeah, this is great, which I'm not sure that means anything. But clearly him and the owner weren't on the same page. But when your president, your assistant GM, and your defensive coordinator are all resigning, and then your GM's getting fired a few weeks before training camp, that doesn't give me a lot of belief to think this organization's in the right direction.
Well, you know, it gives a false sense of security. And, you know, timing is everything in the NFL. And you have to question just the fact of David Gettleman being fired at the moment he's being fired, I mean, right before training camp. If I'm a player in that Panthers organization, I'm wondering what's going on, because we're talking about a team that's very talented. They're more talented this year than they were when they went on the Super Bowl run. And players want consistency. We're always looking for consistency, and maybe some guys in the locker room, they're happy about this, but when you look at, you know, Gettleman, what he's been able to do, I just mentioned the fact that this Carolina Panther team went to a Super Bowl not too long ago. They have a talented defense. He just drafted Curtis Samuel from Ohio State and also Christian McCaffrey. You know, this is a team that was, for me, when I look at it, and that division, they were primed to make a move. The only team that I felt as though that they would still have to overcome, and that would be the Atlanta Falcons, but they always split with that team. But to me, there's a lot of questions that are raised by this move, but that's something that you always want in an organization. And we've seen sometimes in the NFL where it doesn't pan out right. And what I mean by that is when the GM and the head coach and the president or the owner are not on the same page. And I guess there's some internal things that are going on that will probably come out in the wash later on, and we'll find out what happened with that. But right now, it's kind of shocking for this to happen at this point, right before training camp starts.
And that's what I'm asking about. I mean, as a player, you're what, less than a week away from training camp, and now you all of a sudden don't have a GM? Does that affect the players at all?
Well, slightly, because you have to realize this. The team has already been assembled at this particular point. So it's just a matter of trying to get these 90 guys on the same page to get out and go out and compete and try to put the Carolina Panthers back to where they were a couple of years ago. But the only thing, it just kind of adds somewhat of a distraction. That's the biggest thing. It's a distraction having the GM. Now he's fired right before training camp. That's the only thing that you worry about. But you know, the players will get over this eventually. This is not something that we're saying that Cam Newton's not going to play the entire season, or for some reason he's done something this offseason and he won't be available to the team. It is just Gettleman being fired. We know in the NFL it happens with players. It happens with GMs, as we're discussing right now. But it's something that, you know, you find a way to get over it, you move past it, and you try to move ahead and think about this upcoming preseason and what the team wants to accomplish.
Nick Ferguson, former NFLer, joins us, analyst on Mile High Sports. Nick, if you look at the teams in the NFL, obviously when the Patriots are there, I know, I think it was Edelman the other day said people talk about 19-0 is just dumb. Come on, it's really hard to do. But they are obviously still near the top once again. And until they actually slow down, I don't see how you can pick them not to be a playoff team and likely not win their division. So is there a team or teams you have seen that you expect to make a big jump this year? Who and why?
Well, you know, one team, well, there's actually two. And this team, I guess, not being in the playoffs is a down year for them, because they are often the mainstay like the New England Patriots, and that has been Roethlisberger and the Pittsburgh Steelers. No deal as of yet for Le'Veon Bell. That's going to be an issue, but they do have a guy in James Conner who they drafted out of Pittsburgh. He's a big guy. He's an in-between type of guy. He catches the ball well at the backfield. And also, they have great guys at the wide receiver position, which makes it really difficult to match up. So I see Pittsburgh Steelers being that team to – well, let me just go out here and just put it out there right now. AFC Championship, Pittsburgh Steelers, and the New England Patriots right now. But now the other team in the other division, the conference, that is, I'm looking for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I mean, over the years, we've seen Jameis Winston start to show flashes of getting better. That defense is much better than it was a couple of years ago. They have a deep vertical threat to add with Mike Evans and Deshaun Jackson. And they went out and got a great tight end out of Alabama, A.J. Howard. So now you're talking about being able to threaten all three levels of the defense. And I know, you know, Doug Martin is expected to miss some time this year. But we're still talking about a team that's still young, and Jameis Winston is still growing as a quarterback, but he still has a certain level of skill set that makes him a threat within that division as far as throwing the ball down the field. With those wide receiver threats that I just added, I mean, that is going to be a team to reckon with within that NFC South for sure.
You know, reports come out that Le'Veon Bell wasn't able to get a long-term deal, so he gets the franchise tag for 1 year. How does this affect both him and the team moving forward?
Well, you know, as a player, you know, you want a little more job security. You want to know that, you know, the team has valued your level of production that you've given them, you know, on the field. And Le'Veon Bell, you know, a couple years ago, he had that off-the-field issue. But, you know, that aside, you know, he's kept his nose clean. And looking at his level of production, both as a running back and out of the backfield as a receiver, you cannot ignore the fact of, you know, what he brings to that team. And I know over the years we've seen the running back position devalued in the NFL. To me, we're going to have to add an entirely different category for a guy like Le'Veon Bell and his skill set, because to me, he was the bell cow, the linchpin for that offense. When he's not in there, it just changes the total dynamic. We saw what happened when the Pittsburgh Steelers were in the playoffs against the Patriots. Le'Veon Bell was not in the game. Now, you know, all the advantage goes to the Patriots at that particular point. So for Le'Veon Bell, he's still happy to be a member of the Pittsburgh Steelers. He will be a Pittsburgh Steeler for life, but he wanted a little more job security, and not getting that this year, I'm sure he's going to play more angry or angrier than he played, you know, last season, which would be better for him as far as the level of production, bad for opponents, but even worse for the Pittsburgh Steelers, because if he puts together another season in 2017 like he did in 2016, the Pittsburgh Steelers are going to have to put a couple more zeros on the end of his paycheck.
Nick Ferguson, join us. Nick, the AFC South, Houston and Tennessee each had 9-7 records last year. Houston ended up getting into the playoffs with the Colts and the Jaguars. Which team do you see having the best potential to reach double digits in wins?
You know what? Now, that all depends. Now, if Bill O'Brien can get Deshaun Watson up to speed, and I'm thinking that maybe by week four he takes over as a starting quarterback, now we can start talking about the Houston Texans as being a threat in that division. But just looking at the roster that has been assembled at this point, I have to go with the Jacksonville Jaguars, because it's an old cliche saying, and you guys have covered the game as much as long as I played it, is the fact that defense wins championships. And you look at what they were able to do being the Jacksonville Jaguars. They go right in the Texans' backyard and steal one of their best corners, A.J. Bouye, right? And then they add Calais Campbell. So now you're talking about having things solidified from your interior lineman standpoint, and then on that secondary standpoint. So this is a team that is prone to make a move. The only concern that I have is Blake Bortles at the quarterback position. You know, all the pieces are around you right now to be successful. Now, can he elevate his level of play to take the team where they need to go to? That is the biggest question mark for this team. So running back Leonard Fournette, I mean, we saw him kind of run through guys in the collegiate level. He's going to be able to do the same thing in this division. So all the pieces are there for the Jacksonville Jaguars to take, and understanding what happens in this division. That division has been won by the Houston Texans at a record of 9-7. I would like to think that the Jacksonville Jaguars are at least one or two more games better than the Houston Texans this season.
What about going back to you know, the NFC East? Cowboys last year, we know the year they had those two rookies, but pretty close behind them, nipping on their heels, were New York Giants. How do you see them coming at it this year?
Well, what's interesting about this with the new developments with Ezekiel Elliott and some troubles that he's just encountered. And we know there's already a ongoing issue with this whole domestic violence of his ex-girlfriend. So we have to see how that plays out. If he's not available for the Dallas Cowboys for the first four games of the season, that's going to pretty much change the complexity of this race. And here's what's great about, you know, football. You know, we used to call the NFC East the NFC Least. But when you look at the fact of what's going on with Kirk Cousins in Washington, the fact of how Dak Prescott and Ezekiel Elliott, I mean, just kind of burst on the scene last season, and they're going to be back. I mean, just look at what the Giants did. They add Brandon Marshall to go with Odell Beckham Jr. And the Eagles just stockpile wide receivers on the offensive side of the ball. So that is going to be a nice division to watch. But I'm going to give the edge to the Giants because Eli Manning is a proven quarterback. He's been to the Super Bowl twice. And adding Brandon Marshall is just going to take that team from an offensive standpoint to a whole different level. You have two playmakers on that team outside the number. So it's like, as a defensive coordinator, where are you going to rule the coverage to? You know you can't single Odell Beckham Jr. because we've seen what he's been able to do as far as carve up a secondary. But that division is definitely going to be the one to watch, and no longer will we be able to refer to it as the NFC Least.
Nick Ferguson joins us. Did Struds pay you to say that? He's a huge Giants fan, so he's fist pumping here in studio. So that's a good. It's his birthday, so it's good to just make him feel better. I agree.
Listen, I don't know as much about football, even close to what you know, Nick, but I agree. Like, when you got Marshall now, and you've got all the receivers they have, they've got Eli Manning, and I'm pretty bullish on them this year. But I do worry about the what Dallas has done, because they're still pretty good if they can sort all that stuff off the field.
Well, you know what? They still will be competitive offensively, and with their offensive line, I mean, they're still going to open up those holes for Ezekiel Elliott. But the defense, I mean, there was a mass exodus of guys in their secondary. So trying to come back and revamp that secondary and plug and play and have guys that can contribute right away and do it at a high level, I think it's going to be very, very difficult. They're going to be competitive, but being able to overtake teams like the Eagles and the Giants is going to be very tough for them this season.
One last one. The NFC South, you mentioned Tampa Bay is a team you really like. The Panthers were 6-10 last year. Any reason to believe that they can, you know, get close to a playoff berth, or is this a team that's, you know, from a few years ago looked really dominant to now suddenly a team that's going to be maybe at best 8-8?
Well, it all depends on the health of Cam Newton. Obviously, he's coming off shoulder surgery. He missed early part of OTA, so you worry about that timing and rhythm to establish with some of the young wide receivers he has at the moment. And, you know, having, you know, Curtis Samuel drafting him and, you know, Christian McCaffrey, you have two small, quick guys that can make a lot of things happen in small spaces. So you have to wonder, well, whether Coach Shula will change or revamp the offensive scheme to allow Cam Newton not to hold the ball in the run-pass option, but to get the ball to his playmakers outside the pocket and let them do most of the work, so you can take the brunt of the physicality of the game off of your franchise quarterback. A lot's going to depend on that, but when you look at the roster and look at the pieces, as I say, that they have on offense, they should be that much effective because they have a defense that can not only score points, but they can limit how many points the opposing team scores as well. And they're capable of scoring points themselves. So it's going to be very interesting, but a lot is going to depend on, you know, whether Coach Shula has changed the offense and how well they keep Cam Newton upright and healthy.
Nick, as always, great to catch up with you, man. We'll talk to you throughout the season. Appreciate it.
All right, talk to you guys throughout the season.